morning. I'm Todd Billman. It's my privilege this morning to share with you God's Word. And I love Sunday mornings, but I really love the fact that all of you are here. Not just because it'd be really weird to preach to myself, right? It'd be kind of lonely. But because you came here this morning when you could have done so many other things. Whether you could have slept in, went and played a round of golf, had an early brunch. You could have done so many different things. Could have chose a different church, but you came here. And so you might think you came here just because you were invited, or maybe your spouse dragged you along, or a parent or a friend said, you got to come. But ultimately, I want you to know two things. That first, that of course, I'm glad you're here this morning, but the second is you're not here by accident. I believe that God has you here for a reason. And I hope it's to transform your life and to give you hope and to give you joy and to give you purpose. And see, I ultimately believe that God wants you here not because of what I have to say, but because of what he has to say to you this morning. And so we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. If you need a pen, or you didn't grab a bulletin, or you don't have your Bible with you, we have some amazing people that are just going to come around naturally. You can grab a pen. I do want you to grab a pen, even if you don't want to. Just grab a pen. If you don't have a pen, grab a pen, and I'll explain later why. Go ahead and grab one of those. If you don't have a Bible, they'll pass one of those out to you. We'll be looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. I don't know what we did before Google was around. I mean, I guess I do know. I do know what I did before. Like, when I was a kid, before Google was around, I had a mom and a dad, and I literally asked them a million questions that they would have no reason to know all the answers to, right? You know, like, to me as a little kid, I thought, they've got all the answers, right? So I'm going to ask them. And I found out later some of their answers were made up. Some of them, they would just tell me whatever, so I would stop asking the questions, right? Because they would know. And then I got the normal standard answer of, because I said so, right? You know, why do we have to do this? Because I said so. Like, you just, you know, that always, but they always tried to answer my questions, the curiosity that I had inside. And so I do appreciate that. But I think this morning, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you guys to ask yourself two questions. And so I want you to ask yourself, as I'm sharing God's word, these two questions. So that's why I wanted you to get this pen. And if you didn't grab one, you were stubborn, I want you to take a mental note right here. I'm watching you. If you don't have a pen in your hand, I want you to put your hand right here, and mental note is going to happen here, is these two questions I want you to ask yourself during this sermon. And it is this: am I a light in this world? And the second one is, can anyone see it? So again, I want you to ask yourself internally this question: am I a light in this world? And the second one is, can anyone see it? So write this down. I'm going to come back later. There'll be a quiz. No, not really. But if you want to be a rebel, like I said, take that mental note. But my hope this morning is that you'll be able to answer those two questions. They may seem very simple, but I think they're going to require you to be very honest with yourself. And here at Hope Community Church, we want to be honest with ourselves. And we want you to be honest with yourselves as well. So let's start reading. We're going to look at, again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 is where we're going to start. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad, and I rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray. Father God, your word is true. It's honest. And I hope that this morning it would pierce our hearts. I know that as I've been working on this morning, it's definitely pierced mine. I pray that I would communicate only what you would have. I pray that it would be clear and right. God, we love you and we thank you. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. And so this morning, I have 3 points. I wanted to do 20, but I did three. And the title of the sermon is called Lights in the World. And so that's why I ask you to write down those questions, but I hope you see these 3 things. The first one is to be lights in the world, we should be obedient to God. To be lights in the world, we can't grumble or dispute. And finally, to be lights in the world, we have to be willing to suffer. And so the first one, to be lights in the world, we have to be obedient to God. I don't know about you, but my first reaction is, like, how often? Like, how much, like, do you want? And so, I don't know, but let's look at God's word and see how often we should be obedient to God. Because I think we struggle to be obedient to God because we have conflicting loyalties. And so right there in verse 12, it says this, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, oh, that seems like all the time we're supposed to do that. So not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, you should work out your own salvation, your own faith with fear and trembling. And so our only option should be obedience. But if we're honest, it's not the case. This is really distracting. Sorry. Keep staring at it. Instead, we say things like, I really want to listen to God here, but I need to do this, and then I'll listen. Or like a child or teenager that says, I will listen when the authority figure's around, but as soon as they're gone, I'm going to do it my way. And so I have a perfect example of this in my own life. Like every 10 or 12-year-old, somewhere in that range, you like to test boundaries. And so in the summers, for most 10 and 12-year-olds, they thought, what is that? That is free time. That's freedom to do whatever you want. And so my dad knew that about me, and so he kind of sat me down. I don't think he did it quite like this, but this is how I remember it. He's like kind of grabbed my face, so he had my attention because he knows, you know, that I kind of think my own thing in my own world. And he's like, all right, so what I want you to do is, or really, he said, there's one thing I don't want you to do, okay? Don't sit on the couch and watch TV all day, okay? Don't do that. And I'm like, got it, right? So I got it. Don't do that. He goes out, goes to work, and I do the normal, typical thing is I go turn the TV on, plop on the couch. It's too hot. I'm not going outside right now. I'm watching TV. But see, I know something, right? I'm smarter than him. That's one thing. I'm smarter than him. So what I'm going to do is he rides a motorcycle. Sorry, that's the beard. He rides a motorcycle, and so I can hear that thing coming from miles away because he's got the music on. It was a Yamaha Royal Venture, I think is what it was called, like a 1984, 85, 87. Anyway, a loud bike, and I could hear it for coming. So what all good, obedient children did, when you heard that, that meant it's time to get up and look busy. Look busy. So I'd get up as an obedient child and, I don't know, grab a vacuum or mop something, just start doing it like this. He wasn't buying it, right? He wasn't buying it. He's like, you had one thing. To do not this. Don't do this. And what did I do? The one thing I wasn't. And that's the kind of obedience that I think we often have. It's like, when, you know, in the big things, when everybody's watching, that's when I'm going to be obedient to God. But see, to be lights in the world, we have to always be obedient to God, even when it's hard. And he really just didn't want me to waste my life sitting around on the TV. It wasn't some kind of punishment, even though I thought it was. But ultimately, the reason I wasn't obedient to God is kind of for 2 things. I thought I knew better, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I wasn't fooling him. I knew it was wrong, but I thought he just wanted to boss me around and ruin my fun. And so here, we could be tempted, as Paul is talking to the Philippian church, to be obedient, to listen to me. We could say, well, Paul is just trying to ruin the fun. but he's trying to warn them. Paul is warning the Philippian church and all of us here to listen, obey, even when he isn't around. Paul knows the human heart is corrupt and that being holy doesn't come naturally. He's saying right here that you guys have been obeying. You've been doing good, right? But he knows the human condition. He knows the human heart, which is what? To go our own way, to do what we want to do. And so he wants the Philippian church to live out that the work that God has already done in them. That's the part about here in the verse where it talks about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not the idea that you're going to earn your salvation. That's not what it's talking about. Or that you need to be worried that you're not going to, that you're going to somehow lose your salvation from doing something horrific. The idea here is God has done a work inside of you, and now you need to be a light and show it. What's been transformed inside of you needs to be manifested in how you live outside. Obedience to God is one way that we show the world that we are different. See, the idea is that sanctification or holiness is a process that was started by God and will continue until the day we die. We play a part, but we need to recognize that God is the one who works in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So we got it. Obedience to God is essential to being a light in this world. But we also need to recognize to be lights in the world, we can't grumble and dispute. I know. Don't worry, it's going to get worse. We can't grumble and dispute. But we in Cane Bay, we love to complain. We love to argue, right? It's our natural tendency. We complain when we have to wait too long in line at Publix, right? Doesn't that person know they can only have 10 items? They've got 11. Can't that person move them faster? Why does the person have 250 coupons? I've counted them. Okay, maybe not counted them. But they have so many. It takes forever when they have their coupons. Why do I always have to pick the wrong line? We get on Facebook to grumble about our neighbors. We even complain about people not knowing how to properly navigate a roundabout. I mean, it's true. I've been there. My wife and I have had discussions about it. We grumble about everything. But Paul is writing these words to the Philippian church, and thus to us, because he wants us to fight our desires to whine and complain. Paul doesn't say to do some things without grumbling and disputing, right? Like, well, this is the one thing, Todd, you can complain about. This is the one thing you can grumble. No, it says what? Let's look at it again here. In verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And why? So that they may see that you as blameless and innocent children of God. If anybody had an opportunity to grumble, if anybody had an opportunity to be upset, it would be Paul himself, with the circumstances. It would be the Philippian church being persecuted for all kinds of things. Listen, it was a problem back then, and it's a problem now. And Paul is urging us to be blameless and innocent, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Among that you should shine like stars. What I love about this is that Paul is talking to the Philippian church. He's talking to us to be in the very midst of this crooked and wicked generation, right? So what does that mean? He's not calling us as Christians to stand off far off. It's real. Let's be honest. If I wanted to avoid grumbling, I could just avoid people and traffic and the whole world and just sit in the corner by myself, and I'd probably only grumble just a little bit. But I do a lot better at it, but right? But real character, the showing who we really are, shows with people how we live. And if we're honest, we want to grumble and complain and dispute about this. And Paul is warning them not to do this. But if you want to show that you're a light in this world, how should you live? To be ones that are loving and kind and affectionate and caring and helping our neighbors and saying, maybe we could navigate the roundabout this way. They aren't supposed to remove themselves or isolate themselves. They're to be in the very midst of the culture. And that doesn't mean corrupted by the culture. That doesn't mean to follow along with whatever the culture or the world is saying. It means to be there and stand as a light, shining a light on all the evil that they encounter, standing firm in their faith. They can do this if they hold fast to the word of life, which is the scriptures. See, oftentimes, why I grumble and complain, why I get off track, is because I cling to what I think is best, to what I think someone else thinks is best. But Paul is not urging them to cling to him. He's urging them to cling to the very word of God, because it is true, it is reliable, and it'll keep us all out of a lot of trouble. It is helpful. Everybody has an opportunity to hear God by reading his word and seeing what's really true, what's really matter, what really makes a difference, what can really help us. And he's encouraging them, you're going to have trials. You're going to have problems. Don't grumble and dispute. Obey and cling to the word of God. And see, we will run into things that will bring us comfort. But Paul is reminding us to cling to what God's word is, because it brings life. If we're honest, most of the time that we grumble and complain is we don't like things when they're not easy, when they're difficult, when they're a pain, when they're an inconvenience, we grumble and complain. And Paul says, when those things come up, and they will, cling to his word, cling to God's word, cling to the truth. If you don't like what you're hearing so far, it's going to get worse. And so I feel like as Christians, we somehow give this thing as, if you just come to know Jesus, everything in your life will be perfect. That you won't have any problems. There's this message that goes out that everything will be easy if you're just a Christian. And that's not the truth. That's not the truth. And Paul talks about it right here. Talks about to being lights in the world, we have to be willing to suffer. Now, suffering is a part of everyone's life. But I believe it's especially a part of the Christian life. If you thought Paul was crazy already, I'm sure there's no doubt in your mind. Let's look at verse 17. It says, even if I'm poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice. Paul is talking about, he knows that the Philippian church is making sacrifices because of their faith, because of the way they're living. But I want you to know, this is Paul talking, I'm willing to make sacrifices as well. I'm willing to even sacrifice my own life if need be. Paul is showing his character, but he's urging us to be willing as well to sacrifice, to be living sacrifices. Now, Paul was under house arrest while he was writing this letter, and he wanted everyone to know that in his imprisonment, his spirits hadn't been dampened. Instead, it showed his true heart. Paul's desire to be faithful to God grew stronger than his desire to be comfortable. And often, I think we are guilty that the reason we are unwilling to suffer for our faith is because we want to be comfortable. We want to be easy. Maybe we don't want to talk about why we think people should be living a certain way. Why we don't maybe partake in some things. Why we have a certain standard, a certain way of living. We'd rather just make it comfortable for us. We'd rather not make it a difficult conversation. See, what also is interesting is his joy came not from circumstances or things, but from God. They allowed him to endure all kinds of sufferings because his joy didn't come from stuff, didn't come from people, but actually came from God. See, we might get happy because we got this newest toy for Christmas. We might get happy because we have this brand new house that we lived in. We might get happy because we have these new friends. We might get happy because of a new job or whatever it is. We might get happy because of those things, but ultimately, that will fade away. And Paul is saying, The reason he can have real joy is because he knows Christ. And he knows that no matter what suffering he may encounter at the end of his life, he knows that he has hope, that he will get to spend eternity with God, and that can bring him joy even in his suffering. We don't want suffering in our lives. We don't want adversity. But Paul knew that to be a light, that he would have to accept the fact that bad things can still happen. Even though we are being obedient, even though we aren't grumbling or disputing, we could still face suffering. So I want to go back to those two questions. Are you a light in the world? And does anyone know it? We need to ask ourselves this because the answer to these questions will affect the rest of our lives. Are you a light in this world? I honestly thought growing up when I was a teenager that I thought I knew God. I thought I understood him. I thought it made complete sense to me. I thought I was being a light in the world, but really what I was playing the game. And I realized that when the light was turned on for me. And for me and my faith, how I came to know Christ, it was very interesting because this topic is about light. But when someone says, well, how do you know you're a Christian? How did you know, Todd, that you are a light? And I said, for me, the way I knew, literally, was there was like a light that went on in my head that God turned on that made me understand who God was and who Todd was. That God was the creator, I was the created, that I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't good enough to go to heaven because I thought I was. I didn't kill anybody. I haven't robbed a bank, so I must be good enough to go to heaven. But through my friends, through people who passionately cared about me, they showed me the light, which is Jesus. And it's the Bible verse, one of my favorite Bible verses is John 14:6. It says, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. And no one comes to the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And see, for me, I thought there were many ways that you could get to God. But this is one thing that Jesus was very exclusive on. There's only one way. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't be good enough. And I was like, well, how do I get there? And they said, well, Jesus is the way. He's the light also. And he will allow you to get there. Faith in him. And so people explained that to me, and I wanted a part of that. I wanted to have a life with Christ. And so people started to see a difference in me. And they could tell that I was a part of something different, that I was now professing my faith in the created rather than in creation. I was a follower of Christ, and I had to stand up to the world that tried to corrupt not just me, but all of us around us. But see, if people can't see the difference between our lives as Christians, God is still gracious to those who call on him. Listen, we are not perfect. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to screw up. But we have a God who picks us up and brings us back and says, I love you. See, when you become a Christian, you don't become perfect. You're still a sinner, and you're still in need of Savior, and he still has to help you. But we must be willing, as Christians, to repent, to turn, to acknowledge that Christ is Lord and we are not, and that we need him. And that's how you can tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. The Christian is not perfect. The Christian is repentant and knows that they need Jesus, and that it's only through his grace, only through his power, that we can be redeemed. And we cry out to him often. And see, when we cry out to him, he helps us stand against the darkness in the world. He helps us to be the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I am so thankful for what you've done in my life and in so many people's lives here this morning. I pray that if people here couldn't answer that question, that they would talk to you or talk to someone else here about that, what it means to be the light. I pray that if people have said, well, people can't see my light, that they would turn and run towards you so that that light could shine brightly like it does in your son, Jesus. I pray that you would help us to live a life that brings glory to you rather than ourselves. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.